540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance says Donald Trump's claim that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio were eating cats and dogs is true.
Now, you said that these are false rumors. Well, I've heard about a dozen things from my constituents in Springfield, Ohio. 10 of them are verifiable and confirmable. A couple of them we have direct firsthand accounts.
He spoke on CBS's Face the Nation. On CNN, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro said the debunked allegations have led to bomb threats in Springfield.
There is a causal connection between the BS that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump spew and the safety and security of the American people. When they go out and they lie about this stuff, they put their fellow Americans at risk.
In Southern California, the massive bridge fire, one of three now burning in the region, is about 5% contained. CBS's Rick Montanez is in Wrightwood, about 30 miles northeast of downtown L.A.
Minimal growth. That's what they are saying about the fire. Firefighters are putting out hot spots, which is good news. All of this smoke and haze, I mean, it is thick. You can smell it. You can taste it.
A surface-to-surface ballistic missile launched by Yemen's Houthi rebels has landed in an open field in Israel.
The Israeli army said the ballistic missile apparently fell apart in the air over Israel, sparking air raid sirens across central Israel. Several people were slightly wounded running to shelters. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel will retaliate. They should know that we exact a heavy price from anyone who tries to hurt us, Netanyahu said. Linda Gradstein for CBS News, Jerusalem.
And we learned this morning that Netanyahu will travel to New York a week from this Tuesday to attend the annual UN General Assembly. He'll stay in the U.S. for a few days after that. Flooding in Central and Eastern Europe has turned deadly. People have drowned in Poland, Romania, and Austria. The BBC's Adam Easton is in Warsaw, where the Prime Minister is urging residents to evacuate low-lying areas.
The amount of rain has just been extraordinary. It's been similar to levels seen in previous disasters in 1997, when torrential rain killed more than 100 people in Poland.
The man from Pennsylvania has pleaded no contest to charges that he killed his father and stepmother with a sword in their home almost 5 years ago. 43-year-old LeVar Fountain entered the pleas to third-degree murder charges, avoiding a trial that was to have begun this week. Police say he told them he was off his schizophrenia medications. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. You may have heard by now Wisconsin is a battleground state in the presidential campaign. That makes it especially important for Wisconsin voters to educate themselves. More from Mike Moan.
University of Wisconsin-Green Bay political scientist David Helpap says if you're approached by a campaign volunteer, ask about the candidate's stances on certain issues. After that encounter, a little homework is encouraged.
If time allows it, do some of your own research to check the facts, to go to news sources, reputable news sources. There are some nonprofit organizations out there that try to provide good, nonpartisan, unbiased information.
Vote411.org is one of those sites that outline a candidate's stances on certain issues, as well as their previous voting and policy record. HelpApp says cross-checking that information with the answers from a campaign staffer can help assess whether that person is worthy of your vote. He also encourages comparing criticisms of rival candidates with the facts to see if they match up. HelpApp says if you have the time, attending a political rally is another valuable way of becoming an informed voter.
And particularly in swing states where we are seeing so many visits by different people, politicians, groups, even celebrities in some cases.
HelpApp says even if you don't agree with a candidate's views, showing up to an event allows you to gain some insight into how other voters feel, possibly making political discourse less hostile. He adds this kind of added exposure is hard to come by in non-swing states. Political experts say these tips are just as important in deciding candidates for state and local offices. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny, upper 70s for highs today. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 63. Sunshine and 81 for your Monday. Sunny 79 Tuesday, sunshine on Wednesday with a high around 77. Sunny and back to the upper 70s Thursday.
It's 76 at our studios.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Andra Watkins returns. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household and can tell us how that relates to Project 2025. It's not good. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. We are powered by Everlight Solar, and here is today's episode. Folks, welcome back to another episode of the Cripescast. We are talking today to the Content Machine. Content Machine, if you're not aware, it's a couple dudes from Minnesota, Tyler and Michael. Very, very funny guys. You've definitely seen their videos before. I'm guessing they've amassed, I don't know, millions and millions and millions of views. Super funny dudes. I was out in Los Angeles not too long ago, and so I went over to their place and sat down with them. And we had a real nice Midwest chit-chat. So hope you guys enjoy that. Before we get to it, just want to let you know we are still raising money for Doctors Without Borders. You can find their link in the show note. You can follow them at Doctors Without Borders. And follow us at Cripescast, wherever you get your podcast stuff. And also, if you want to see behind the scenes and get a first look at shows and tickets and all that, go to patreon.com/CharlieBehrens. And yeah, ladies and gentlemen, with that, let's jump right into it. Here is my conversation with the Content Machine.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
First of all, I like that we made the decision to go full shorts.
100%. Shorts kings.
You guys are wearing shorts.
YouTube shorts kings.
I see what you did there again. Damn, that Celsius really is kicking.
Yeah, it's flowing right now.
Yeah. I think what we noticed first is that I'm not wearing matching socks.
No.
That's more of a vain thing. You also have really tan feet.
I live in California now, so, you know, I have to have tan skin, white teeth.
Tan skin, white teeth. That's good. Do you have the Birkenstocks tan line on those? Can you see?
I usually charge for this.
Oh, yeah. You do. Wow.
We'll put that behind the some sort of Patreon wall.
Yeah.
To get the unblurred photo of the feet.
That's
I'm
smart.
I'm assuming we'll blur them.
That's smart. Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah, you got it. We'll blur your cuticles. We'll do that in post. These socks don't match, which is...
It's close. They're close, though.
They are. Life is too short, I think, for matching socks. That's been a motto of mine. Do you guys match your socks? Like when you get done with the laundry, do you ball them up?
I match.
Recently, I've been matching. Yeah,
really.
It's only to manipulate women into thinking I have my life together, though.
Yeah, does
it
work?
It's like but you know, you have to do everything you can to try to get that. But it does make it more convenient when you're like in a rush to just grab socks and you don't have to fumble around with, you know, trying to find the right pair. So
I don't know how to sit on this chair.
Yeah,
it's impossible
sorry.
To do.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to look good doing it.
I love how you're like, you guys are, your feet aren't even touching the ground right now.
Yeah. Short king, you know?
Tyler looks like a puppet, I was saying.
You're 6 feet?
I am 6 feet, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
You're 5'9¼".
I literally measured myself this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to get to like 5'10 at all?
Yeah, there's a mark on the wall. I'm gonna start taking some HGH probably. Really start stretching.
Human growth hormone.
Yeah.
For those who don't know.
No, I knew that. I like the video of like the six
short future.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're over 6 feet, you get killed.
Yeah.
The original idea was to put a chainsaw at the 6 foot marker and just have everyone block. So you're either haircut or fine or, you know, scalped.
Yeah. It was just too hard to like get the prop or
It just would have been, I think it might have been a little too like graphic for people. I don't know how to exactly do it.
Yeah, we like to do everything practical around here too. So
The method acting of producing.
Method
producing. I'm a
method producer. Horror films are really an insurance issue.
Big time.
So you guys are from Minnesota.
Yep.
And I can see that your hand is covering that Vikings.
Skull Vikings, you know.
How's that been? Being a Vikings fan.
Pretty bad for as long as I can remember, as long as anyone can remember. Yeah. Except the 60s, there was some action.
There was.
But that's kind of the last time.
There is the Love Boat. That was some action.
That's true.
Yeah. That was some insane action. Yeah, that was good action.
Yeah. That was on what? Lake Minnetonka?
Was it Minnetonka?
Yeah, Lake Minnetonka.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's sort of where we're from. Close.
Yeah.
Okay. Not quite the lake.
Where did you guys grow up?
Hopkins, Minnetonka.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then like you guys met early on, what, like fourth grade or something?
Third, fourth, second grade.
Who came over to whose house first? Who asked the other to play first?
That's a good question.
Who made the move?
Great question. I will say I was banned from his house first.
Oh yeah. Tyler would get kicked out of my house almost like every day.
Oh, you were one of those kids.
Well, what would happen is he would come over, we'd film videos, and my dad is like an angry Italian man. So he just did not like that we were filming in the house. So he would come home and we would like be filming and like the house would just be like a little bit of a mess. And he would just yell at us and then Tyler would just get like kicked out. Like how like, you know, in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, how like Jazz always gets like thrown out of the house.
Yeah.
That was basically just Tyler just getting ragdoll out of the house every day.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Romeo and Juliet story.
I like it.
The parents, the clans clash.
Yeah, exactly.
So your dad wasn't one of those that was like polite around kids that weren't in the family.
No, it was the exact opposite. It was pretty crazy. Like during dinner in Minnesota, obviously in the Midwest, you have basements. But during dinner, if there was friends over, they'd have to go to the basement while we ate dinner. Like me and my dad would
really
eat dinner alone at the table. And the kid would not get fed. And my dad's like, it's not my job to feed other like children. So I remember like the first time I was like 13, that first time at my friend's house and they had dinner. I was like, I probably seemed like I was like an abused child, but I was like, oh, you guys are having dinner? I was like, no worries, I'll go down to the basement. And they're like, are you hungry? Do you want to eat with us? And I was like, yeah. I was like, of course. Like, that sounds great. They're like, yeah, you don't have to go to the basement. I was like, this is insane. I was like, some families like let the guests eat, you know, dinner with them. That was a huge moment.
They're like, dinner time. You're like, okay, you like go lock yourself in the kennel downstairs. Yeah,
exactly. So I was like, see you guys later. I was like, where's the basement in here? I'll see you guys in an hour.
Well, an anti-Nordic stereotype I've heard is, and his dad's from up north in Minnesota, which is very, you know, Iron Range.
Oh, yeah.
But like people in like Sweden and like Finland, Norway, apparently people from other countries will go there and they'll eat like that. And that's like apparently like a thing that they do.
I've never, because there's a lot of Swedes and Norwegians.
Yeah.
And I've never been kicked to a basement for
that. Yeah. You've been dealing with people of somewhat class. You haven't dealt with someone just absolutely no class whatsoever.
So you got, well, who was it first? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I do remember watching The Naked Gun at his house.
That was huge.
Yeah.
That was Zucker Brothers. They're from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Zucker Brothers. Yeah, they are. They did Airplane.
Scary Movie 3?
Did they do the third one. And then The Naked Guns. And yeah, that was a huge influence actually for us. We would watch The Naked Gun like a lot.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, kind of can't. One of those movies I can't believe like our parents let us watch it at the age that we were watching it at. But yeah, totally got into our brains and influenced the way that we lived our life.
Yeah, I mean that humor too of basically it's unexplained humor that's just jump cut in.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
very similar to like what a lot of social media videos are.
Yeah, 100%. It's not connected to anything, completely random. It is funny how that's back in style, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel like you still see it. Sometimes in our videos, I feel like you see the completely like wacky, crazy, like little background thing or whatever that is like from The Naked Gun. It's just like this. They have so many little moments that are super funny. Like when they're like, there's a scene where they just walk to the next room and like Wesley Nielsen, he just goes to the outside of like the set And just like, he doesn't go through the door. He just goes to the outside. It's like, just like a random second for no reason. He does that. Just like little things like that. It's like, oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Just wacky, goofy little things like me dressed up in a full black trench coat, speaking German loudly, you know,
100%.
Just goofy, funny little things,
goofy
like
little
that.
Things that are just random.
Just random.
Like, yeah. We were in the park Pan Pacific, which for people who aren't from LA, it's like just the very like central busy park in Los Angeles. And we did something where Tyler was like dating 12 women at once, and he was in like a full leather trench coat. And we had like 12 girls and me dressed up as a girl, as like a 6'3", just like behemoth of a woman in the park in like military like garb.
Yeah.
The joke is he's like starting a small militia and he's like shouting like German in the park, and we're like marching to him. So people saw a sight that day of just, you know, of us just doing that.
Yeah, you know what museum is actually at the other end of the park. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
until
that was
now.
Probably a bad
one. Oh,
look,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You really want to be careful where you're loudly talking in German.
In a trench coat.
Yeah, you live and you learn. You live and you learn.
100%. 100%. But yeah, we definitely do terrorize the people of Park La Brea and Pan Pacific Park with our filming. So.
I love it. I feel like that's kind of the... Do you guys ever get location... something like in illegal to just kind of film in LA, and you just illegally film all the time?
Yeah, 100%.
I've heard you technically need, like, if you're shooting a movie, you technically need a permit to film in your own home.
Really?
Apparently, in LA.
What the hell?
It's actually insane.
That's the nice thing about Wisconsin is you can just film anywhere and nobody cares. Yeah. But apparently you can kind of do that and get away with it yourself.
With what we're doing, the security around here does stop us quite a bit, which is very similar to my dad stopping us when we're filming. So it's actually like kind of a nice callback. I'm like, we're used to this.
He's just getting you ready, Mike. It's not that he actually hated you, even though he said that. He was getting you ready.
No, he reinforced that he hated me every day. But yeah, he was just getting us ready for Los Angeles. But yeah, so they do shut us down sometimes, but it's kind of funny. It's our full-time job, so we just kind of roll with the punches. And
Yeah,
we don't really mess around with like permits. We tried to film at a studio one time and we didn't have our permit. We actually did get rejected. So that was one time, I guess, we needed. But yeah, for the most part, we're just completely breaking the law every single day. We're in Los Angeles.
That's awesome. Good for you guys.
No, we were both in relationships. So believe me, we understand about a bunch of undeserved anxiety going on at all times. We're used to that.
Wait, you're both in relationships?
We were. So we're just dealing with like just massive amount of anxiety for no reason. We're just used to dealing with that.
Yeah. And did you guys both like break up at the same time, or who broke up first?
Kind of. I actually did first. Actually, both of our now ex-girlfriends were from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We imported them.
Did you?
So, made them wear Viking stuff. Yeah.
Really?
Well,
did they do it?
They didn't do it. They wore Packer stuff.
That's good. Were they friends of each other's?
No,
enemies.
Randomly? Yeah. You guys both decided to marry or date Packers fans.
I guess. Yeah, technically.
We wanted to understand the enemy's mind a little bit more. You know? We're trying to figure them out. Like, what are these people all about? It's like, you know, breakfast, just a block of cheese. You're like, oh, okay. Like, that's interesting.
Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds. He's like, I think like, you know, them. That's how we had to start thinking.
Yeah,
you know,
we think like Scotties. Exactly.
Okay, here's my fun fact I forgot to tell you. You know when you like, you go to the like Amazon and it goes to like one order that you had a long time ago that you searched and it's like strangely bookmarked?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So his YouTube on his computer is your Fleet Farm video.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's like
a bookmark?
Anytime he goes to YouTube that's the video. So you're just getting plays
that's
every
awesome.
Day.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I'll bill you eventually. We actually wanted to ask you what your CPM is, just so I can accurately invoice you for watching that video about 10 times a day.
I do appreciate that. I don't know how that happened, but I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm not sure why it happened or how it happened either, but I know the first 5 seconds of that video pretty well.
Yeah.
I've seen it enough times. So.
I would have put way more effort into it had I known.
Mine's a Sam Hyde video, if you know Sam Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
So you can kind of see the
differences, the combining.
The videos is important, though. We shot just something the other day and we tried desperately to get a bald eagle for the opening shot. We're one of us would be holding like an eagle. It's extremely hard to get a bald eagle in America because they're like endangered. So yeah, we couldn't really do it. We might get the puppet from the pistachio ads with Stephen Colbert. There was like a robotic eagle.
I remember that.
Yeah, we might get that as our eagle for the opening shot.
Potentially. Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, just random, but fun stuff.
Do you guys know that like a bald eagle? You know how when you're watching something and you see the bald eagle and it gives that
Yeah,
you know, that's not what a bald eagle sounds like.
That's what he was telling me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that's a hawk. Yeah. Or a hawk, something like it. But yeah, no, a bald eagle sounds like a seagull.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh.
Yeah. But it's kind of a bizarre thing. It, you know, and then if you get you could be like, well, what does that say about America right now? You know, but then you can't. And look, see that look you just gave me? That's like the look your dad probably gave you after you gave me a look.
I don't know. Yeah. It was like the look he would give me is the look of just hate and just regret. But I don't know if I was giving you that look.
I don't know. What good question, though. What is the look that your dad would give you when he was pissed?
Let me think for a second.
While he thinks, I have a story.
Oh, yeah. Go for the story.
Well, there's a couple with his dad. I mean, there's so many classic bangers, but
you got kidnapped one time.
I got kidnapped. But the one that I always like is the dome.
What's with the chicken?
You should tell it. He's better. I mean, it's his dad.
So. Yeah, this is just a great Midwest story. So every Wednesday, the grocery store by our house did a $5 rotisserie chicken, like a full on chicken for five.
Five buck cluck.
Yeah.
You know, you're not passing up that deal.
I don't know.
So every Wednesday we would get that. So we went down to the grocery store and got like a $5 rotisserie chicken. And then she put it on my lap. It's kind of just burning me on the way home. No big deal. You know, the grease is kind of getting on you. Third degree burns. So then it had like this dome over it that kind of kept in the heat.
I know the dome.
Yeah. So I got out of the car and I was young at the time. I was like 10 years old. And I was holding it by the dome.
It's too hot to hold.
It was burning me. So I got out of the car and it just dropped onto the garage floor, cement floor. And it like not only dropped a whole, it was a sight to see a whole rotisserie chicken drop, but it like dropped and it was like rolling. It was rolling over like dust.
Moist, collecting
like super moist $5 rotisserie chicken just like over gravel and just rocks.
Like oil.
And I just looked at it, like didn't know what to do. And my dad just like turns the corner and just like sees the chicken and sees me. And just, you could feel it coming. He's like, everything you touch gets f***. No. I was like, all right, I'm sorry, Dad. I'll give you $5 of my allowance. I apologize. Yeah, super just like, we'll never forget that moment, but
character building moment.
That is a great Midwest day. Is your dad like that too?
No, he's really not. The defining characteristic of my dad is like just cheap.
Yeah, extremely cheap.
Cheap.
Kind of a Midwest vibe.
Midwest cheap, though. I mean,
it's really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
It's different. It's an art form, though.
Yeah.
It's like frugality.
Exactly.
Know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost like I'm almost impressed by it. Like, honestly, but I'm too embarrassed. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm 90% embarrassed. 10% I'm impressed with like what he's able to do.
What's like the cheapest thing that
he's done? Like so my parents are divorced and then growing up, he would go to Menards. Familiar with John Menards?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
And, so you get like rebates. Okay. You get like one rebate per address.
Yeah.
So my parents were divorced and, you know, I would split time with my parents, you know, going back and forth to their houses. So he would double up on the rebate and send it to my mom's house. And I would collect it and bring it to $11.80.
You were part of this racket.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I got roped in. I was like, I better be getting some good bolts from Menards. Don't they sell like milk and stuff too? They have some groceries.
Yeah, you can do a whole lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of 12 kids. So my parents were really.
You have 11 siblings.
11 siblings.
Yeah. Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
That's what Matt Damon claims in Good Will Hunting.
I know. But it's Andy, Charlie, Billy, Betsy, Maggie, Eddie, Mary Kate, John, and we know Bridget Ellie. So there you go.
Damn.
Yeah.
Barron's German?
Barron's, it's half German. My mom's last name, Malloy. So half German, half Irish, some French Canadian in there.
Okay.
A bunch of other white places that I can't really remember and don't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But yeah, No, that we did like a lot of home renovation projects at our house growing up. So there's a lot, like learning how to put tile down when you're a young kid is always funny because you get that glue seeping up between the tiles and your dad's like, hell, what's the matter with you? And you're like, I'm not trained to do this professionally.
Yeah, yeah. At least it sounds like your dad had like some sort of, like he could do home improvement projects.
Oh yeah, did your dad not do them?
I think both our dads, they were frugal, so they tried to save money, but they couldn't actually fix anything. I know like Tyler's like car, his like bumper broke and his dad just grabbed like Viking scotch tape.
Like duct tape.
Duct tape, excuse me. And just taped it like together.
Really?
Way worse than silver duct tape.
Yeah. And then my car had like a little piece missing from the headlights, like a little, it wasn't a big deal. My dad just grabbed like seafoam. Do you know what seafoam looks
like? Yeah, I do.
And my car was red. So he thought the seafoam already looked like, he thought like, I can make this look even better. And he took a red permanent marker and painted in the seafoam. And it looked literally like I hit a deer. Like people would ask me what I hit all the time. They're like, what did you hit in your car?
Because it was like rough and like bumpy and red.
It looked like I hit a deer and the brains were still on my car. And that's what people thought. And people were like, what's on your car? And I was like, oh, my dad just tried to fix it. So
I mean, the attention to detail, though, with, you know, getting the red Sharpie on top of that was pretty impressive.
That's love. That's when like Midwest fathers sometimes can't express love very well. When your dad does something like that, when he goes above and beyond and paints in the sea foam with red, you know that he cares about
it. How he shows it. My you know, did your dad's like say I love you a lot, or was it just kind of they would shake your hand and say, all right, we'll see you later?
That's definitely what me and my dad did.
There was not much of those words spoken, verbally.
It's kind of awkward,
a little bit,
you know.
Male to male, you know. If you have a daughter or something, or your mom says it, it's different,
right? Right. But and that's why we had very awkward first embraces. Like when I showed up at the door.
Yeah, that's why.
You guys didn't see this, Cripescast listeners, but we backpacking right hand, left handed handshake, and then was going to do the handshake half hug.
Yeah.
Like, because that's kind of cool.
When you pull it off smoothly, it looks great.
Yeah, but what I did is I did a left hand handshake, and then with the right hand went in for a hug, so it looks like we were ex-girlfriend boyfriend kind of a hug.
It definitely had that feel of like we used to be lovers and not anymore. I felt that at first.
I was almost gonna like, I was like, should I be half pecking you on the cheek
And now we're gonna go like the pecking, how they do in Europe, like the left to right.
Yeah, didn't do any of that. And then I showed you what we did, which made our first in-person encounter
better
because we kind of cut, there was a little tension between us until you came down, and then I could finally call out the awkward embrace. I felt better after that. Did you?
Oh my god, I felt so much better.
Yeah,
because right away I was like, oh, that was awkward.
But
well, on the topic of gay stuff, so what, you work out? Well, do you play sports growing up? How do we get a build like Charlie Barron?
Oh, that's very kind of you to say.
We're straight, by the way. You can tell by the football.
Hold on.
Vikings, see
the
football.
See the car?
Lamborghini.
I like to do some things. I like to do boxing.
Okay. Did you wrestle growing up?
No.
Okay.
But you look like a guy who wrestled growing up.
I did.
Your posture right now tells me wrestler.
Really? Yeah.
You didn't wrestle?
I did.
Okay.
A little bit, like when I was really young. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know how it is in the Midwest. You have to do like either hockey or wrestling. You know,
I didn't do hockey. We didn't do hockey because 12 kids.
It's expensive.
Yeah. That too time. Expensive.
It's a team.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
You just run drills,
yeah.
Actually. It's two teams.
I know, seriously. We did pond stuff, and then we did a frozen parking lot.
Oh.
That's where I played hockey. But then, over time, those winters kind of got weird for a while. They're still a little weird. Down by us, you know, you guys got that good ice.
Yeah, we got that good ice.
Yeah, we got that ice.
That's one of the few things we have in Minnesota. Yeah.
So, and you guys, when did, so, okay, you grew up friends, and then you went to different colleges.
Became enemies.
Because you were St. John's.
Yep.
You were St. Cloud.
Yeah.
And then after college, did you guys just work normal jobs, or how did you get from college to out here? When did you move out here?
Yeah. So like we grew up making videos through high school, and then college, we were really close. We're like still like 10 miles away from each other in college. So we're still like making videos and stuff. And then after college, we did get like normal jobs, like the soul sucking jobs jobs you need to get in order to get like a personality, you know?
Yeah.
So
what were those jobs?
I was working at advertising agencies, making their videos. And then Tyler,
I was working at a production company.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
In Minnesota.
Nice.
Bizarre Foods.
Oh, okay.
So they shot that out of, you know, the company's out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
There was, it's no longer in existence, but yeah.
Yeah. And how long did you do that for before you guys? Well, and then you guys started doing videos there, right? You started doing videos in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. We were always making videos and we just slowly like picked up the pace of how many we were making each week, basically.
But like, oh, I got you. You've been making videos consistently throughout that whole time.
Yeah. Since like fourth grade.
Yeah. Since like high school, especially.
Yeah, high school, especially.
And not a ton, but like, and we weren't good at it. But yeah, we were doing like one or two a month, maybe for that whole time. And then like 4 or 5 years ago, we really was like, hey, let's just try this. Let's like actually do it.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. Republican vice presidential nominee Senator J.D. Vance told CBS's Face the Nation that immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, have been going after a park resource.
We have direct firsthand accounts of, for example, migrants abducting geese at the local park and slaughtering them and eating them.
Ohio's GOP Governor Mike DeWine has been debunking the tales of pet-eating immigrants.
These Haitians came in to work for these companies. What the companies tell us is that they are very good workers. They're very happy to have them there. And frankly, that's helped the economy.
DeWine was on ABC's This Week. The spacewalking crew of Polaris Dawn are safely back on Earth.
The Polaris Dawn crew has successfully splashed down.
Welcome back to planet Earth, Polaris Dawn.
Three crew members were on the 5-day flight that went farther from Earth than the International Space Station. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers march on. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will start Malik Willis today in place of the injured Jordan Love, who was listed as doubtful for today's game against the Colts with an MCL sprain. The Packers elevated Sean Clifford from the practice squad to the active roster yesterday to serve as a backup. Willis says he has been preparing and knows he needs to be ready at any given moment to contribute.
I've been pretty much around the clock since I got here. That's the reality of this thing. You try to come in and be ready to go if you're called upon. And like you said, you just work each day.
The Packers and Colts kick off at noon. Yesterday, it was Alabama blowing out Wisconsin 42-10 in college football. Wisconsin has a week off before playing at number 11 USC on September 28th. It was a wild night in Arizona as the Brewers piled up 15 runs in a 15-8 win over the Diamondbacks. The win reduced the Brewers' magic number to 3. Same two teams, Brewers and Diamondbacks, will play again this afternoon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny, upper 70s for highs today. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 63. Sunshine and 81 for your Monday. Sunny 79 Tuesday, sunshine on Wednesday with a high around 77. Sunny and back to the upper 70s Thursday.
It's 76 at our studios.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Some big ideas we...
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome entertainment critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor Rob Thomas. And tis the season, so we'll talk about our favorite political movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is the Cripes Cast on Civic Media. I am Charlie Behrens, and I am going to be talking with two great Midwesterners here, Tyler and Michael from The Content Machine.
Yeah, so what was the platform that I first took off on?
I guess TikTok.
TikTok, technically. It was during the pandemic. We just, like, heard about it and we started to post to it, and we just started to get a little traction. Like, we were posting YouTube and like we're getting like 100 views per video, nothing. And then
big numbers.
But then TikTok, we got like, there's a video that hit like 50,000 views. We're like, oh, this is like cool. And then kept posting and we kind of grew up the account.
And it was too early to know like that
wasn't a lot of views.
That wasn't like real, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The views feel like cheaper in some way on TikTok for some reason.
They do heat up accounts, I guess, or
yeah,
I don't know. They TikTok has this thing where like average non like consistent video making people can get huge views quick, probably to get more creators in there.
Yeah, they hook them.
Yeah, they hook them, and then you create more creators, so no one creator has sway over the platform.
Yeah, TikTok's probably. Like strategy is like very similar to like how like they distribute like meth and like crack into communities. They like distribute it, get people, they give it for free the first time, get people hooked, and then they like slowly take it away.
Yeah,
it's literally like that concept. They just made it into like a business plan.
Yeah, so, I mean, gotta hand it to them, honestly.
But yeah, and then we started just like to pick up on TikTok, and then I think we had like 400,000 followers, and we decided to move out to Los Angeles. It was right after the pandemic, after two just cold winters during the pandemic, nothing to do. We were trapped in the same apartment together. We were living at one point in a half bedroom apartment. There is no wall separating us. I was sleeping behind a couch.
Really?
With a C-stand and then a blanket over it. That was my bedroom. And then Tyler was in a room that just had like the, it was like kind of like this.
The walls didn't like touch the ceiling.
Yeah, there's like a 6 foot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like if I wanted to climb up and see what Tyler was doing, I could definitely do that. No
yeah,
problem.
You guys have bathroom stall divisions.
Kind yeah, of. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Funny enough, at one point, his closet was the size of a queen-size bed.
So I put it in there. And
so Tyler, yeah, he was in the closet sleeping, which is crazy because Tyler was in the closet sleeping.
That's, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
I also slept in a closet for a while out here at my buddy's house.
Yeah, that's a rite of passage.
The closet room is not a bad way to live.
It's so dark.
It's like
it's
tiny.
Like a cocoon.
I know. Yeah, you don't even need to put a t-shirt over your eyes because the window's there.
It's very similar to being back in the womb. It's very like paternal, you know, maternal, I should say.
So hot in the closet.
Yeah, yeah.
Closets get very hot.
Hey, very hot in the closet. Tyler's an expert on that.
But you were always living together throughout this whole time.
Yes.
Tyler and I have been living together for like, I don't know,
five or six years.
Yeah.
That's like a few more years of that. And you guys have a legal union.
Joint bank account.
Joint bank account, all the gear.
Yeah.
We have put a limit on it, though. We've said like, I think 35 at that point, no matter what the situation is with girls or relationships, we have to move out and just live on our own. Probably.
Yeah.
Are you guys,
I don't know.
Are you going to miss each other?
Well, I will say this. We have looked at things where it's like two houses on the same property.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah, we wouldn't necessarily be like apart that far from each other. Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
We'd still be close. But yeah, we'd probably miss each other a little bit, right? You'd miss me. I probably wouldn't miss you, but.
So you played sports growing up?
I played some sports. Good transition. Let's get back to you guys living together, though.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I did. I played, what did I play? I don't know. I played football. Nice. And
that's
lacrosse.
Very hetero. Two hetero sports.
Nice. First lacrosse team in at the high school I was at.
Nice. Okay.
We were like the Bad News Bears of it.
James Madison Memorial.
I was at Marquette High School.
Got it.
Yeah, in Milwaukee. Yeah.
You have the lacrosse hair.
Thank you.
You know, the
lacrosse thing, back when I played lacrosse, not all lacrosse players were at least that's what I'm telling people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or I didn't know, you know.
Yeah, but maybe you weren't self-aware of the ness that was going on.
Right. I mean, no offense if do you guys know lacrosse players?
Oh yeah, they're
Well, you're a hockey player. I feel like a lot of hockey players would play lacrosse in the office.
True. Yeah, that's literally what my brother did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your brother
big time, yeah.
Is he?
No, he's a good guy.
Oh, nice.
He's a classic Minnesotan, just lives on a lake. Gets up every day in saunas, goes for a little paddle boarding ride.
Wow.
Yeah, he lives the life, man.
Where does he live over Minnetonka?
Waconia.
Waconia?
Yeah.
I don't even know where Waconia is.
That's how Minnesotan he is. He's living in towns you've never even heard of, just like random places.
So you guys, when did your stuff just, like, I feel like, first of all, I gotta say this. I know I've told you both in person, but like your writing is so good.
Thank you.
Good. Like that, I feel like that's like the the best thing about your videos. But then the visuals are awesome too. So you can kind of see the ad in the production company background. Is that like what gets you going the most? Is it the writing? Is it the shooting? What aspect of it?
I feel like for me, I like the writing.
Yeah.
I feel like that gets me going the most. I mean, we both write, we both direct, we both act, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I like the writing. I feel like he's very good at the directing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, we both do both, but like
a rare compliment coming from Tyler. I didn't know that.
But wow. I feel like we both have strengths in certain things. And like, you know, he's probably better at post.
Okay.
You know,
editing
and yeah. stuff. And I've probably spent more time doing pre. You know what I mean? So if it's like writing, producing, you know, but again, like he's good at those too. And then it'll be like directing, editing. If I had to say who's like done more of those things.
Yeah.
You know, but he's written plenty of viral videos, you know?
Yeah. No, I've seen.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, and then being out here is nice because you can collaborate with a bunch of people.
That's right.
You know, that's definitely one of the benefits. You can do the thing that you're doing from anywhere, but the ability to collaborate with people, like being out here in Los Angeles, what are the benefits that a creator can have living out here except for that?
100% is that. And like, it just feels real. It didn't feel like real to us in Minnesota, at least to me. Then you come out here and then it's like, oh, this is like, you see things and you learn things quickly.
I think
because there's no place better. And yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. It's more of a support system out here of like creators that you can learn from, work with. Also like the weather is a big thing.
Filming
in Minnesota in the winter sucks. It's hard. It's always sunny here, which is nice. And yeah, there's just a lot more connections. Also, like just the way, like literally how like the, how do you say, like the society of Los Angeles is like probably 5 years ahead of like Minnesota in terms of like trends move a lot faster out here. So you're a lot closer to the epicenter of like what people are talking about, what's going on. You're just a lot closer to that, a lot of like this stuff that I've noticed, which is like helpful, like for ideas and stuff. It feels like whatever's going on in Los Angeles is probably going to be echoed and mirrored. Like it starts in New York and California. Like it, in my opinion, it starts in New York and Los Angeles and it moves inwards in terms of like what people are doing. And then people kind of mirror like what's happening.
Well, like wearing like somewhat looser fitting cargo pants has been a thing in the Midwest since the year 2000.
That's
or perhaps
true.
Before. And a lot of people haven't really changed that aspect of their style. And now been ahead of the game.
It's at some point.
Because that's come back.
Yeah. If you stick with the styles, it will probably go back in style at some point.
Yeah.
And that's what the Midwest has been doing with those
total renaissance right now. Because everyone in the Midwest dressed very fashionably these days.
Yeah. They're looking good now.
It reminds me of one of our friends does stand up. This is his joke. I'm stealing it. But it's like, he's like, if you when you live at your parents' house and you're like in your mid late 20s, you're like, oh man, like that guy's a loser.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you stick it out long enough and then you're in your 30s, that people go, wow, how a guy that young with no job get that house?
Yeah. You know, how nice of him to let his parents live with him.
He's telling about his parents. You stick it out long enough, then the parents die. How does the guy with no job get a nice house?
That's what's happening in the Midwest. They're like, how do so many people who have no concept of fashion look so fashionable right now in the Midwest? Like, how are these people doing it?
It's just, we've always known.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you plan to stay Midwest or no plans or don't
know? Well, I moved out to LA when I was like 22 or something.
Wow, yeah.
Like right out the gate to work at a production company. And then I left to do news for a number of years. And then I came back to Los Angeles, lived for like 6 years or something. And so then at that point was the pandemic. When you guys were moving out here, I was moving back because I was like, well, I can do what my thing from anywhere. So I kind of took almost the opposite thing.
Yeah.
And because I do the stand up too. So I'm on the road a lot. So when I'm not on the road, and then you get the family time stuff. And also the nice thing, a lot cheaper to live there, you know,
way cheaper,
a lot more parking,
way more.
So, you know, if you guys get sick of having a hard time parking your car.
Oh.
Now we got to bring that up.
I'll say this.
Okay.
I'm trying to put this delicately.
Yeah, go ahead.
We didn't buy a car.
Okay.
the board of directors at Content Machine approved a business expense.
Yeah, exactly. This is what we call a tax write-off.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
This is the board.
Yeah. The board.
Yeah. New gear was purchased. One day.
Yeah. And that, what was the traditional whip?
Before Toyota RAV4.
Ooh, yeah. That's what you RAV4.
We still have it.
We still have that. That's
do you?
That's a gear car.
Oh, so you guys have two cars now.
Technically three.
What's three the other ones?
A Mazda 3.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah, exactly. So my dad, actually, when I bought that car, he yelled at me. And by the way, I was 25.
This is the Mazda. The car he's talking about.
Yeah, the Mazda. He yelled at me because it was red and he said it was too sporty of a car.
Ah.
Yeah.
Your insurance will go.
Way up. I think it went from like, let's say $100, you know, to like 125. It was a big spike.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then we bought the new car, which is a red Porsche 911. So he'll probably self-implode or self-destruct when he finds out about
my parents don't know. I haven't told them.
They don't know. I mean,
that's how they'll find out. So
I'd be more afraid about your dad. Cause like, if you think about those payments, like all the kids you could feed instead of sending to the basement for their dinner with those car payments.
Yeah.
It hurts my mind to even think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm afraid of what my dad will. He's on oxygen now, so I can always, you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
On the cord. If he gets a little too riled up, just
I was going my way to hockey.
I just meant like taper him off for a few seconds, you know, settle him down. You're going for the full on, just out of his misery. But yeah. I was just saying, I just like, you know, pull off the oxygen for a couple seconds, you know, settle him down. But yeah, so we'll see what happens, what the reaction is.
Yeah. Okay.
But
okay.
Do you see yourself coming back to LA ever or no?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, no.
Probably not.
No, because like, I don't know that I necessarily want to. Like I probably had a different experience than you guys had because you guys came here. It seems like your stuff has taken off. Like when I came to LA, my career was like that, like getting laid off, doing red carpet stuff, which I didn't want to do, you know, trying to do stand up. And then when my stuff started to take off, it took off mostly in the Midwest. So I was like, all right, great. Cheaper stuff.
So do you notice, you know, like with your titles and stuff, do you like, will you commit to like Wisconsin or do you like to go Midwest?
I think if I'm doing Midwest stuff, it's mostly Midwest because it applies to a larger audience. Yeah. And truthfully, you know, the difference between Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, there are some very big differences, but largely everyone can relate to the same kind of things. But then, you know, you try to broaden it out. But I don't think, you know, I don't think I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
I'll come out here and visit, you know, and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Do you think I failed? Are you judging me?
No.
Hanging it up.
No. What?
Yeah.
No,
I can tell. You're just curious.
I was just curious because
all successful people move to LA and then. Wisconsin. Yeah.
True.
That's thank you. I mean, it's me and
Zucker Brothers.
Where do they live?
I think Milwaukee.
Do they?
I think they moved back.
Yeah. Oh, holy smokes.
And they were either going to move to New York or LA. And they said they moved to LA because when they eventually became homeless, the weather would be better.
True.
That was their bet.
A lot of people share that mentality.
Yeah. When I moved out here, I had a minivan because I shot it on accident.
Shot with a gun.
A gun, shotgun, 12 gauge. My brother didn't unload it. I was pulling him out of the back seat.
Wow.
There were four guns there, pull them out. He had like one of those sock covers. Do you guys hunt, shoot things ever?
Not really, actually.
Okay. Yeah. It shouldn't have happened, but it happened. Anyway, I shot it to my dad. So you bought that. So I came out here with it. The nice thing about a minivan, though, is you can like sleep in the back if you got to.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about LA is the weather is... I remember this one time that we were up in San Francisco, me and my buddies, and we didn't have money for a hotel room. So the three of us cuddled up in the back of that minivan. So cold.
Yeah.
I've never been so cold in California. That was nuts.
Yeah. You definitely get cold. Yeah.
Nuts to butts.
It's, hey, when you're cold, anything goes quickly. I remember WeFest. Do you know what WeFest is? Country Festival up in northern Minnesota.
Okay.
It's just a big excuse to get drunk for like 5 days.
Because people in Minnesota need that.
They do need that.
Yeah. It's kind of our thing for sure. Same thing with Wisconsin. I saw a statistic that's like, of the 100 counties that have the highest DUI like statistics, 99 of them are in Wisconsin.
And yeah, in Wisconsin's right Wisconsin. Got some issues with that situation. Yeah,
but, you know, hey. All I heard was number one, you know, we're on top. But yeah, so WeFest, we were up there and it weirdly fell to like, it was like below 30 degrees on the last night. And I just happened to have like an Arctic sleeping bag, like one that you zip up for a single person. And I woke up in the middle of the night and my buddy was just, we were all hammered, but he was like, I woke up and I was like, Kyle, what's going on? He was like in a starting stance, like a, for like how people do like a track, like sprint, like, you know, like he was in like a 3-point stance. He was just like doing that, making weird noises. I think he was dying is what was happening.
He
was literally suffering from hypothermia. And I was like, Kyle, I was like, come here. And he just came. It was so like majestic. And he just put his head here. We just laid together and I just zipped up the sleeping bag and we just fell asleep.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Yeah, sorry about that. But pretty sure I saved his life that night. At least I like to think so.
So
yeah.
How sweaty was that Arctic sleeping bag with two guys?
Oh, it was so cold. It was like kind of nice. I think I needed the body heat too.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, it's a win-win.
It was a big win.
That's a very Midwest nice thing for you to do.
Yeah,
very Minnesota.
You were
nice.
Drunk?
Definitely.
And you were
drunk.
21.
Yeah, actually, I was at the time.
Yeah.
Just let the record show that.
Yeah, quit trying to rat him out, you know? What's the biggest difference between L.A. and Minnesota?
A lot, for sure. Hold on, let's think.
Okay,
an ocean here. I think people-wise, okay, well, L.A. is full of transplants, which is very different than Minnesota, because usually everybody from Minnesota, like in Minnesota is from Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot more variance of people and culture.
Yeah.
Like, Minnesota is very, like, there's one like type of people in Minnesota. It's like white people who don't like spice, who like are just brutalized by the winter every year. You know, where LA, you do meet like a lot of different people, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. So you get like that going, Tyler.
Yeah, I think I do think there's something with the culture. Like, do you know tall poppy syndrome? Have you heard of this?
Yeah, where you cut down the tall poppy.
Yeah. I feel like there's more of that in Minnesota. In the Midwest.
Yeah, that is definitely a thing. I would think, do you think that could go away? Well, I don't know. I was going to say, can you develop a culture in the Midwest?
Yes.
Like where you can create like guys like you, let's say you were to go back to the Midwest at some point. I know you're not going to, but let's say you were. And then it's kind of like a hub, like kind of how you have like Austin. Was sort of like the outlaw country capital, you know, because Willie Nelson moved there and a bunch of other people.
We might go back.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely not off the table. And that's what we always actually wanted to do, was what you're saying.
Yeah.
That was kind of always like the 20-year plan.
Yeah.
Was to do something like that, because then you could buy and build like a big studio, like a Dude Perfect or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, you know.
Where's his thing?
They did it down in Texas.
Or their thing.
To Texas, yeah.
Yeah, so they did it in Texas, and they just have, like, all that land, you know, and it was cheap in Texas.
Right.
They couldn't have ever done that in L.A., obviously. But anyway, that was kind of always, like, in the back of our minds. But I feel like that tall poppy thing is less out here. It's okay to succeed.
Yeah.
I know what Minnesota needs. It needs a canon event, which is we need to win a championship, like, series of some sort. That's all that it needs. If the Vikings would have won the Super Bowl when we had it in Minneapolis,
that would have been
tall poppy syndrome. It would have gone away. It would have ushered in a mecca, a utopia in Minnesota where everybody was happy. Everybody was like, would be flashy, and like it would have changed everything. But it didn't happen.
Mecca, utopia. Those are the same things. You're right. I agree.
So where do you think the tall poppy thing comes from?
I don't know. I think it's imported from Canada, because that's how they kind of are, I think. I think like the Midwest, I don't know what that is, but
I think it comes from that. I think it comes from the Iron Range and just like being like blue collar, living within your means. You're not flashy. You don't show off.
Yeah.
Like I've heard stories of guys out here where they're not like, they can't afford like, you know, courtside season tickets to Lakers games, but they'll buy them and like use it to like network as an investment, but they can't really afford it.
Right.
But they'll like somehow figure out like a payment plan or something, or like get a loan to like get tickets like that, to go network with other people there. Cause it's, you know,
Whoever. That was a hard thing, man, because there is a lot of like $40,000 millionaires or whatever they call it in L.A.
Yeah,
where, yeah. Same kind of thing. But the whole networking thing, that do you guys like that aspect? Are you good at that?
I don't know. We're okay at it. I don't think we're bad at it. But yeah, to me, it's always been like, we just want to do like the work kind of.
That's
we it. Like yeah. doing it. And it's, we see a lot of people who do just the networking and they make nothing. And it's like,
that's
you,
a huge difference.
You have to make something eventually. You have to do the work, because if you're going to network with someone, then what do you show them?
Okay, we got this segment on the podcast that says, what makes you say cripes? Like, it's a cripe sesh. What makes you go, cripes off? Do you guys grow up saying cripes at all?
No.
My mom may have a little bit. Crapola.
Okay, that'll work too.
That's like the brother of like cripes.
Yeah, it is. Second cousin. Yeah, but exactly. It'll work. Like what's an annoying thing for you guys? It could be anything.
I'll say like anything administration or corporate drives me absolutely crazy. For example, I tried to park at Park La Brea the other day, and I was driving.
This one says public podcast. Don't expose our address to the people out there. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Thank you, by the way, for visiting us in Beverly Hills at our mansion. We appreciate you swinging by. Hopefully the security out front of the gate didn't give you too much problem coming in here. But
security actually said, it doesn't matter. Just go through.
But I was driving the new car, actually, and you need a parking pass to park here. So I...
Yeah.
So you have to get, if you're a guest parking pass. So I was driving. And I was like, hey, can I get a parking pass? And said, who are you here to see? And I said, no, I live here. Can I just get a guest parking pass? I said, no, since you live here, you have to actually go into the office and get like a residential parking pass. And I was like, and it was just going to take time. I was like, can you just please give me a guest parking pass? And then no. So I had to spend like an extra like 15 minutes to get this parking pass. It was just corporate bullshit, basically. Yeah. I hate corporate bullshit.
The lesson here is, so you see, lying is actually good.
Lying is good.
And will help you.
Yeah.
There are some lies like that one where it's like, dude, just lie to me. This would make my job easier, your life easier.
Exactly.
You guys, it's the white lies.
Corporate America, like, especially coming from Minnesota, where you have Target, Best Buy, 3M.
Yeah.
All these huge corporations. It does something to people. They become... like these, like, I don't even know, scary kind of shadow people that they just become like drones almost. It's very scary to see.
I think this actually touches on the thing I was saying earlier with the tall poppy syndrome. I think they get like scarcity mentality, and you would think that the people with these kinds of jobs would be the most willing to take risks because they have the most security, but it's not true.
No,
they've gone 20 years making no decisions and diffusing responsibility to not make a bad decision in order to keep the job and keep getting a 2% pay bump every year that they don't even know. Like, they're not even like people anymore.
I worked for an agency, and there was our clients, somebody had to like DM them a question about the product. That was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like something they weren't exactly thrilled to share. And they, for like 5 years, every week we brought up this question, and they said they would run it back to the team. Because nobody wanted to make a decision on how to answer the question. For 5 years, nobody would answer this single question. It was so funny. Week after week, we'd be like, and how do we want to answer this question from this customer? And nobody wanted to make a decision. It was the craziest thing. Like 10 people in a room who didn't want to make like the easiest decision. That's what corporate America does. It's just like such a diffusion of responsibility. It's like, if you go, like, the goal is to never make a decision so you can't be blamed for something. It's like, that's like how people maneuver. You know,
you kind of see that in like Hollywood too, like at major studios. Mm-hmm. Like if you buy a project, that's why there's so many Marvel movies, because they're the safest ones to make.
Yeah, because you won't get fired for making a mistake.
Well, that's all the time we have for now, folks. But if you want to listen to my full Cripes Cast, you can just look for Cripes Cast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.